Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is April 27, 2011. Christ is truly risen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And don't let the accursed Jews lie to you. This is part two of my lecture on the accursed Jews. And we're going to be dealing with the curse that the Christ-denying Jews are under for the guilt of deicide and for the blood of Jesus Christ. We are now going to speak about how the Christ-denying Jews are cursed uniquely for the guilt of deicide and the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only did the Jews kill Jesus Christ, they were the race and the people that delivered our Lord up to be killed. And so they themselves were the ones that were the murderers and the killers. But all future generations of Christ-denying Jews inherit that guilt of murdering God, and it's also called the blood guilt of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God, of murdering God. They inherit that guilt in the same way that the whole human race inherits original sin. So if anybody tries to come along and says, how is it possible? Does God ever hold anybody accountable for their parents' sins? Indeed, the whole human race is held accountable for the original sin of Adam and Eve. And that's indeed how the Catholic Church explains the deicide of the whole of all these Christ-denying Jews, that they inherit that guilt from their forefathers just in the same way that the human race inherits original sin. And you may ask, why has God uniquely cursed these Jews in this way? Why? Because they were uniquely chosen. They were the only race that God ever created for himself. They are the most beloved race of God, the chosen race of God, the people that God created to bring him to power, to glorify him. And when you're uniquely blessed and uniquely chosen, you are under a most special obligation to obey and love God. And when you do not love and obey God, you are uniquely cursed and punished by God, more than any other race. We read about that even in Luke 12:48, when Jesus says, to whom much is given, of him much shall be expected. And because God chose them as his number one race, whom he loves the most, they much is required of them, and they must return that love and obedience to God. And when they don't do that, they are uniquely cursed. And that's why I say, even in the New Covenant era, nominal Catholics are even worse cursed than the Jews, because in during the New Covenant era, the only chosen people are Catholics. And when they go bad like the Jews did, they're even worse cursed than the Jews. Because again, Catholics are God's uniquely chosen people in the New Covenant era. I say that the nominal Catholics are quadruply cursed, and the Christ-denying Jews are doubly cursed. But we're going to dwell upon the fact and teach you to teach. This is a teaching, by the way, folks, in the Bible and of the ordinary magisterium of the Catholic Church, that all the Christ-denying Jews from the time of their murderous ancestors inherit that blood guilt and the guilt of deicide. And the reason why, and God punishes them even more uniquely. And because God is so just, he shows no favoritism to no people. Even though he chose the Jewish race and he loves them above all the races, he loves all other races also. It's not just the Jewish race that he loves. He loves every man that he created. We read about that in Wisdom 11:24-25. For God loveth all, Wisdom 11:24-25. But thou hast mercy upon all, because thou canst do all things, and overlookest the sins of men for the sake of repentance. For thou lovest all things that are, and hatest none of the things which thou hast made. For thou didst not appoint nor make anything hating it. And in 1 Timothy 2:3-4, Jesus says, God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So God loves all races. He just loves the Jewish race above all races, because that's the race he chose to bring him into power, and which Jesus Christ himself took on that human flesh. But he loves all races. So you can come and say, well, God loves the Jews. Well, so what? God loves Germans. He loves Frenchmen. He loves Africans. He loves Spanish. He loves all men. And this is my point I'm getting at. God loving you is not enough to save you. Because if that's true, then all men would be saved, because God loves all men. That's not how you get saved. You have to love God back. You have to love God back. And Jesus Christ tells us, the true God, back from the old covenant era to the new covenant era. How do we know if we love God? Anybody here? How do we know if we love God? We keep his commandments. That's how you know if you really love God. And Jesus Christ, the Old Covenant says that even. We're going to read that in the Old Testament in Ecclesiasticus 2:19-21. But they that love him shall be filled with his law and will keep his commandments. We read Jesus speaking in John 14, 15 and 23. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone love me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and we will make our abode with him. End quote. That's how we know if we are loving God back. And we know that God loving all men alone is not enough to save them. Because what does Jesus say in Matthew 7? In Matthew 7, 14, how narrow is the gate and straits the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Matthew 20, 16, many are called and few are chosen. The prophet Isaiah, and I have about 5, 6, 10 maybe Old Testament verses that say that very few men will be saved. He said it's like when the guy goes through the vineyard and everybody picks all the grapes. What's ever left over, they're saved. 10%, 5% of mankind, when all is said and done, will be saved. So, when somebody tries to come up and tell you, well, God loves the Jewish race. Well, he loves them more than any other race, but he loves Germans too. He loves Africans. He loves Irishmen. He loves all men. So what's the point? That don't mean you can't be evil. You have to love God back in return. And when you do not, you go to hell. How many Jews did God kill and destroy in the Old Testament and send them right down to hell? How about the Schism of Korah? How's that one for you? Here's a group of people that rebelled against Moses and Schism. And rebelled against his authority, God opened up the earth and sent them down into hell alive. Okay, so this, yes, God uniquely loves the Jewish race. That's true above all races, but that ain't going to get every Jew saved. All right? That even makes them doubly responsible to be faithful to God. And we know that God is a respecter of no persons. And if what kind of a God would this be? If he lets his chosen people join the old covenant Aaron, the Jews whom he loves, rebel against him and commit adultery and worship idols and murder people, and they don't get punished. But a German does it, or a Frenchman does it, or an Englishman does it, or an Irishman does that, and he gets punished. What example would that be to all the other Gentile races? They would say, what kind of a God is this? He's a monster. He's a tyrant. He's a sinful God. He's a God who allows his people to sin, but he tells us we cannot sin. You know, that's the Talmudic Jewish small g God. They believe that you can break all the commandments with the Gentiles because they're a soulless beast and you can murder them, you can rape them, and you can pillage them, and they can do the commandments only apply to the Talmudic Jewish race. That's the evil God. That's not the true God. We read about in Wisdom's, I think it's Wisdom 6, I get the verse on that, I'm not quite sure. It says, well, God will not accept any man's person, nor does he stand in awe of any man's greatness, for he made both the great and the little alike, and he hath equal care to both, and a greater punishment awaits the more mighty. Do any of the brothers remember what that verse was? It's Wisdom 6 something. And Romans 2:11, God is a respecter of no persons. He says a greater punishment awaits the more mighty. A greater punishment awaits the person whom God has chosen to bring close to his bosom, who God has spoken directly to, who God has showered down special blessings and graces. And when they turn against God, they are uniquely cursed and punished. And that is why every Christ-denying Jew down to today has inherited the guilt of their murderous ancestors who murdered Jesus Christ. That's ordinary magisterium of the Catholic Church. It's taught by the unanimous consensus of the Church Fathers and by all the popes handed down. A unanimous consensus of the Church Fathers is what makes something belong to the ordinary magisterium. When every Church Father teaches it, and it's taught in the Bible, and everybody knows the verse that the Jews hate the worst. It's Matthew 27, 25. When the Jews said, they said, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said, I'm innocent of this man's blood. I'm washing my hands. And the Jews said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Matthew 27, 25. That's when they called the curse down upon their own heads. And that's the verse we're reading about when we see that. And go ahead.
Killed all prophets before.
Yeah, yes.
Killed all the prophets.
That's exactly what we're going to, exactly. Our brother Lewis has just now told us something I'm getting ready to say right now even. Jesus Christ prophesied and told them that not only were they going to be guilty of his blood, which they were going to be shedding, the current Jews during our Lord's day that denied him, he said to those Jews, those evil, cursed Jews, that you're guilty of all the just blood that was shed from the blood of Abel. Because they have the same spirit of all that. Anybody that rises up and kills a just prophet, and all the prophets and holy men. When you kill the prophet in the Old Testament or holy man, you're really going against God. It's not just the prophet you're angry at, it's God. Because God speaks through the prophet. So that's like murdering God if they could. Instead of murdering God, they murder Jeremiah's. Instead of murdering God, they murdered Isaiah. So they would murder the prophets because they couldn't get their hands around God. And then when they got their hands around God, they murdered God, and they had the same evil, wicked spirit. Jesus teaches this. He was talking to the Jews and warning them about this, and this proves inherited guilt. Jesus was holding the current day Jews guilty of all the blood of the just men from Abel and all the prophets. We read about that in Matthew 23, 29 to 35. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, that build the sepulchres of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the just, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers of them with the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of them that killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, generation of vipers, how will you flee from the judgment in hell? Therefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you will put to death and crucify, and some you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the just blood that had been shed upon the earth from the blood of Abel, the just unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you killed between the temple and the altar." He's telling those Jews that you are guilty of the blood that your father shed because you have the same evil spirit of your fathers. And the Jews would always do that. "Oh, well, we wouldn't have killed Jeremiah. We really thought he was good." "Oh, yes, you would." And here they are. They kill a current day prophet in their own day. And Jesus was prophesying that, indeed, I'm going to prove to you how you have the same evil spirit of all the evil Jews in the Old Covenant era, because you're now going to murder the prophet of all prophets, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the person that all the prophets prophesied about, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God and man who redeemed men from their sins. And when they murdered Jesus Christ, indeed, it was they filled up, it was the worst that could have happened, because he was the greatest of all the prophets looked forward to. So they were responsible for murdering all the prophets. And Jesus is technically saying to them, "I know you. I know your heart. If you lived in the days of Jeremiah, you would have stoned them to death in Egypt. If you lived in the days of Isaiah, you would have sawed them in half with a wooden saw. That's how he died, at the hands of evil Jews. And here, don't let anybody say you can't inherit the blood guilt from your murderous ancestors." Jesus just told these Jews that he was speaking to that you're guilty of the blood of Abel and all the prophets and the holy men, and they were living in his day. There's inherited blood guilt. And when they killed Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is God and man, that's deicide. They murdered God, they killed God. And that's the first time they got their hands on God, and that's what they did to him. And don't think that the evil Jews that opposed Moses and Joshua and Jeremiah and Isaiah would not have killed Jesus if he was back then. They certainly would have. Because when they killed those prophets, they were killing God through those prophets. Because they did not like the word of God that those prophets were speaking. And what do we read with the great Saint Stephen, the proto-martyr, when he was the first martyr who died for Christ? And we read about him when he was opposing the Jews in Acts 7:51. And what does he say to these evil Jews? "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you have always resisted the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you also. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them who foretold of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers." Stephen is saying, your fathers killed all the prophets who foretold the just one and the Messiah, and now you killed the Messiah. You betrayers, and he accuses of murderers. St. Stephen saying, you Jews murdered Christ. So if we rephrase Matthew 23, 29 to 35 to apply to your current day Jews, who have now inherited the blood guilt of all their murderous ancestors, just like those Jews did back then in Jesus' day of all their ancestors. Let's rephrase Matthew 23 to 29 to 35. Okay? And apply it to Christ denying Jews of today. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, and all Christ denying Jews, hypocrites, who say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of Jesus Christ. Wherefore you are witnesses against yourselves, that you are the sons of them that killed Jesus Christ. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, generation of vipers, how will you flee from the judgment of hell? Therefore, behold, I will send you apostles, evangelists, And we talk like bishops, clergy, laymen. Some of them you will put to death and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that all upon you may come all the just blood that had been shed upon the earth, from the blood of Abel the just unto the blood of Jesus Christ, unto the blood of the last Catholic martyr. And that's exactly what's happening here, because if Jesus Christ is holding those Jews guilty of the blood of Jeremias, how much more guilty are these Christ-denying Jews of the blood of Jesus Christ, who is the prophet of all prophets, the one they foretold of? So don't let nobody lie to you about these Christ-denying bastard Jews that have inherited this deicide and blood guilt of Christ. I say it first for the glory of our Lord God, whom they blaspheme, and for upholding our Catholic dogmas and teachings, and then for the very Jews themselves who are under this curse. That if you lie to these Jews, you filthy bastards, and tell them they're blessed, they're never going to convert and come into the Catholic Church, and they're going to end up in hell. You're propelling them headlong down to hell. Now let's see what St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:14 to 16. This is the great St. Paul. The Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and have persecuted us do not please God, and they have become the adversaries of all men to fill up their sin always, for the wrath of God has come upon them even to the end. He's saying these Jews are so evil, they're more evil than every man in the whole earth. Deuteronomy curse said that. When you Jews go bad, I'm going to cast you out into the nations and make you a curse to even the pagans. You're going to be worse than the pagans, more guilty than the pagans. That's what St. Paul is saying. And they please not God. But Nostra Aetate tells us that Paul got it wrong, Jesus got it wrong, the gospel, the whole true Catholic Church got it wrong, the Church Fathers got it wrong, because Nostra Aetate tells us that no Jew should be looked upon as if he's under a curse because he's racially a Jew. That's what Nostra Aetate tells us. Can you see how contrary this is to the Word of God and to the infallible teachings of the Catholic Church, to the Catholic Church's teachings of the solemn and ordinary magisterium? We even read, look what King David speaks about. And this is the psalm which prefigures Christ, if you read Psalm 108. And it says here, and he's talking about King David, the people who are resisting good Jews back then, the prophets, and in particular Christ. If you read this Psalm 108, it prefigures Christ. And he says, may the iniquity of his fathers be remembered in the sight of the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. So we're proving to you here, and let me give you the commentary on that, by the way. The Catholic commentary says, the Jews prayed, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And they became chargeable with all the crimes of their ancestors. That's the Catholic commentary on that. Now, even today, you want to just find out how you can tell or still, just go up to any Jew today and ask him, does he believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah? And that redeemed men from their sins, the long-awaited Messiah, and that he's God and man, and do they believe in the Holy Trinity? When they come out and tell you and deny him, they've just murdered him again. Every time a Jew particularly denies Jesus Christ, that's an evil Jew. He's telling you, I don't believe in him. If I was back then with my murderous forefathers, I would have chose Barabbas. I certainly wouldn't have chose Jesus. Not, I definitely wouldn't have chose Jesus because I don't believe in him. Just ask the Jew today what he believes in. When he says, I don't believe in Jesus Christ was the Messiah, I don't believe he's God and man, I don't believe in the Holy Trinity, there he is, he murdered Christ all over again. And how could you consider these people blessed when they cursed the very Redeemer who came to save them? Instead, they are cursed, and indeed they are doubly cursed. They're cursed like every person in the world who denies Christ, and they're doubly cursed because they're racial Jews. And a matter of fact, their race is the thing that makes them doubly guilty, because God created the Jewish race for him. It's the most beloved race in God's eyes. And when they go bad, they get worse cursed than the pagans. One of the worst curses that these Jews inherited because of their deicide and the blood guilt of Christ is that God put a veil of darkness over them so they cannot see the truth. Now, you have to understand predestination for this. God doesn't do that for no purpose. The teaching is that when God knows your heart, and if he sees your heart is ultimately of bad will and that you're not going to listen anyway, that you're really rotten, and that he knows you're not going to listen, he puts that veil over you because you're worthy of it, because you called it upon yourself. It's because you would not know the truth when it was presented to you. He puts the veil over you. And that means in God's predestined mind, he knows that all these Jews are rotten souls. All things were known to the Lord God before they were created. Ecclesiasticus 23:29. All things were known to the Lord God before they were created. He knows from the beginning to the end who's going to end up in heaven, who's going to end up in hell, who's going to be ultimately good, who's going to be ultimately bad. That's why God puts veils of darkness down about people. But he did it upon the whole Jewish race so that there were so few Jews converted. In the beginning, only 10% of the Jews accepted Jesus Christ. And after that, it plummeted. Hardly any Jews believed in Jesus Christ. Why? We read about this curse that St. Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 3:14 and 15. But their senses were made dull, for unto this present day the selfsame veil in the reading of the Old Testament remaineth not taken away, because in Christ it is made void. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. They cannot believe, they cannot see. Later on it says, but when they shall be converted to the Lord, God will then come and take the veil off their heart. But why did God put that veil on their heart? They're cursed because of the murderous ancestors' guilt, the deicide, and the blood guilt of Christ. St. Paul says there's a veil on them. St. Augustine talks about this, and he says the true image of the Hebrew is Judas Iscariot, who sells the Lord for silver. The Jew can never understand the scriptures, and forever will bear their guilt for the death of Jesus. And he's talking about all these evil Jewish races. The only way a Jew can come out from under that curse is if he accepts Jesus Christ and comes into the Catholic Church and gets baptized. Now, there were Jews that have converted already, and God has lifted the veil of a few Jews here and there, but very few. In the final days, however, St. Paul tells us the veil will be lifted. This is what my preaching is directed for. It's not just, it's first to give glory to God, it's to strengthen Catholics in their faith, it's to refute these fallen away and nominal Catholics, and it's to denounce the Jews with the very purpose to convert the Jews whom God loves. God loves all men. I'm not going to get anything. God loves Jews. They come, oh, God loves the Jews more than he loves me. God loves all men. I'm telling you this to you, Jews, because that you people are under a curse. I just mentioned all these multiple curses you're under. But the good news is that you can come out from under those curses by getting baptized into the Catholic Church, and every curse is gone. You're clean. You're worthy of heaven. There's not one of us in this room that hasn't committed gross sins against God, myself included. I broke every commandment of God, and he's been merciful to me, and I came into the Catholic Church through abjuration, and I can tell you miracles he's done for me. Let him do it for you. And if you don't accept him, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. But I will not flatter you. And I have a notion. Many Jews know what I'm talking about is true. Because I cannot believe for the life of me that every Jew believes that he's good just because he's a racial Jew. I mean, even in a Jewish neighborhood, you got nasty Jews living, more nasty Jews than other Jews living in their own family. Robbing from one another, stealing, committing adultery with their neighbor's wives. Jews even know there's evil Jews who live amongst Jews. You have a group of Orthodox Jews in Queens. I think they're the Notori Carti Jews. They seem to be the less evil of all the Jews that I've seen. Because they will come out and tell you that we're being punished because we sinned against God. There's more hope for those Jews than there are for these other Jews that are swallowing this stupid nonsense that all Jews are good just because of their race. Now, a lot of Jews know that all Jews aren't good, but they're playing this racial trump card to come to power. They're using it as a weapon to come to power. Now, we're going to just read to you now quotes from, I told you, the church fathers are unanimous on the blood guilt of the Jews and the deicide. I'm going to read it for you right now. St. Cyprian of Carthage. This name rebukes and condemns the Jews who not only spurned Christ faithlessly, but also cruelly executed him, who was announced to them by the prophets and sent first to their nation. No longer may they call God their father, because the Lord confounds and refutes them, saying, your father is the devil. O sinful nation, O people weighted down with guilt, breed of evildoers, lawless children, you have turned your backs on the Lord and have provoked the Holy One of Israel. The great Saint Athanasius. Jews have no abiding place, but they wander everywhere. But in every place they transgress the law, and as the judgments of God require, they keep days of grief instead of gladness. Now the cause of this to them was the slaying of the Lord, and that they did not reverence the only begotten. Therefore the Lord cursed them under the figure of the fig tree. St. Hippolytus, in his commentary on Proverbs, these things he understands of the people of the Jews and their guilt in the blood of Christ. For they thought that he had his conversation on earth only. And St. Augustine says, the Jews wander over the entire earth. Their backs are bent over. Their eyes are cast downward, forever calling to their minds the curse they carry with them. And we will now go to a clip I'm going to show you about a Jew who indirectly is acknowledging that he's under a curse. Now, I say this about anybody who's committing mortal sins, and they're being told today now that those are not mortal sins, like homosexuals. They're being told that that behavior is normal. They go out in the street and prance around and say, we're now normal. Not only normal, we're enlightened and elevated human beings. And I will tell you, I don't care how many people tell you you're normal. I don't care how many people tell you that that's okay and there's nothing wrong with it. I will say that deep in your there's a law upon your heart and you know you're doing wrong. You still have the shame, and that's why you're boasting around out there. You're trying your hardest to wash yourself clean, and it ain't going to work because it's a law upon your heart. You're guilty. Same thing with the Jews. You could tell the Jews for 100 years, and there could be no one even like me preaching in the world that the Jews are under this curse of deicide. No one preaching it. There can be raised generations of Jews not knowing it. It's there because it's a curse. It's a real guilt in their soul, and they know it. They know it. That's why they hate this teaching. It gnaws at them. It chews at their heart. They hate it. It's ripping them to pieces. It makes them vicious, and they're trying their best to wash it off and get rid of it, and they cannot do it. You can scrub your skin down to the bone and rip off all your flesh and tear your heart out. The curse is on your soul, and it's still there. You can't get rid of it. Now listen to this Jew who acknowledges, and this is back in a time when Catholics were at least witnessing to the Jews and calling them Christ killers, because that's what they are. And when Jews were being told they were Christ killers, this is a good thing. Why is it a good thing? Because you're telling him he's got a disease. You're telling him what's wrong with him. You're telling him he's cursed. It's like if you go to a doctor and you got cancer, and the doctor knows it and he can cure you, and he doesn't tell you you have cancer. He lets you go on and die in your cancer. What kind of a doctor is that? First of all, a doctor would say, hey, pal, you got filthy, smelly, lousy, dirty cancer, and you're going to die. I can cut it out for you. Every time you tell a Jew he's a Christ killer, he's guilty of deicide, first you're giving glory to the true God. You're not letting him get away with his lies, and you're helping that Jew himself because he's got to look into himself and go, ah. Now, you're going to do two things. It's either going to kill you and send you to hell, or you can accept it and convert and come up to God. But if they're not being witnessed to, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17, I think that is. And so nobody's my point is, but though, even if nobody's preaching to these Jews for all these years, they still have that guilt on their soul. Let's listen to this man who now is very angry at the Catholics he lived next to because they would tell him that he was a Christ killer.
I was what you would call an atheist. An atheist at the age of 10 or 11.
You said, though, you used to walk around and some of the neighbors were Catholic.
Ah, that house...
That
house? It was an inferno.
Why? What
Catholics.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and this house, these were monsters. There were about 11 of them. 3 girls, 5 boys, mother and father, twice a day go to confession, boom, 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 night and day. And we're a Hebrew family. And those sons of bitches, in my opinion, they never let me, you know, Jew boy, Christ killer. I mean, the same on and on and on and on. It was like having a curse. A curse was on my soul.
Miss 11, this is one thing you got right. In spite of your blasphemies and all your other nonsense, you are under the guilt, the blood guilt of Christ. It is upon you. You didn't need those Catholics to tell you that. It's on your soul. Look at your behavior. Look at what he's an atheist, right? Look what it led him into. I'm here to tell you, you are guilty of that blood of Christ. And it's a law. It's a law upon, it's more than a law upon you. In a sense, it is upon their hearts since they denied him. It's in their soul. It's like a natural thing. It's a natural curse God put in there. The only way you can get rid of that curse is by getting baptized into the Catholic Church. So here's a man that you can see, he's trying to ignore it. He pretends maybe he's not under it. He's under it. You just look at every Jew sniveling and walking around. They're running from that curse. They know they're cursed. They always try to say, I wonder why I'm being punished in every nation I go in. Well, don't you think God has a little bit to do with that? If you believe God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and we believe that, that's our Catholic dogmas, then he certainly allowed this to happen to you for a good reason. It's because you deserved it. That's why people persecute you, because you're rotten, because you're wicked, because you're evil, because you steal, because you lie, because you promote sins of immorality, because you worship false gods, you infiltrate. You're very evil. That's why. I'm not making excuses for other evil races. They're evil too. And they're going to go to hell also. But I'm centering on the Jews now because they're the only race right now that's being glorified because of their race and pretending that they have no guilt or no sins when the opposite is the case. And I already told you, I'm not just picking on the Jews. I pick on nominal Catholics. They're more cursed than the Jews. They're quadruply cursed. You know, God's chosen people that rebel against him and die go to the deepest pits of hell. Who's in the lowest pits of hell? Not Jews. Nominal Catholics. They're lower than the Jews. Jews are above them. All right? So I make no beef here. God's the respecter of no person. If you're a nominal Catholic or a bad Catholic, you're going to hell too. All the Jews in the Old Covenant knew that too, that just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you're good. Most of the Jews back in the Old Covenant era went to hell. I wouldn't be surprised when all is said and done that only 5% of the Jews ever saved their souls, or of any race. Not even, 5 would be a lot. I have many teachings about our Lord God who told us very few people are saved. St. Augustine goes on to say, Judaism, since the Christ is a corruption, indeed Judas is the image of the Jewish people. Their understanding of Scripture is carnal. They bear the guilt for the death of the Savior. For through their fathers, they have killed Christ. The Jews held him. The Jews insulted him. The Jews bound him. They crowned him with thorns. They scourged him. They hanged him upon the tree. The great St. Augustine. Now we're going to tell you how the popes are just repeating, and these are true popes, folks, these apostate anti-popes of the Second Vatican Council and this Nostra Aetate cannot replace the true teachings of the Catholic Church, and the minute it tries to do that, that's how we know it's not a true council, it's an apostate council. It's contradicting the true teachings of the Church. The Jews know this. Even the nominal Catholics know what the Church used to teach. So how could the Catholic Church contradict herself in matters of infallible dogmas? It's impossible. Anybody tries to come in along, dude, that he's a heretic. You let these Jews ascend to power. They're going to bring their evilness throughout the whole world. You're going to offend the Lord God, and you're going to put the whole world under a curse. At least that nation, it lets that Jew rise to power. That's why you have to keep them under the yoke. In a good Catholic country, you have to keep all unbelievers under the yoke. Or you bring curses, especially to Jews, who are the number one evildoers who the devil gives his most power to, and they're the ones that are the primary agents that bring Antichrist to power. They can call it Judaism, they can call it whatever they want. That ain't what it is. You can call a cat a dog, but a cat ain't a dog. You can say that your Judaism is true Judaism, it ain't true Judaism. It's a diabolical religion, worshiping a false god that has nothing even close to do with true Judaism. All right, and my main thing here is now, that what's happening here with Nostra Aetate, they're really hating the Jews. They're really, by calling the Jews blessed when they're evil, you're lying to them. By saying that the Jews are good when they're evil, you're lying to them. But I will say first, you're lying to the true God, and you're blaspheming the Catholic God, the Catholic Church, and the Catholic religion, and every good Catholic that ever lived. That's first of all who you're blaspheming, and you're making a mockery out of all the blood of the martyrs that died to get people to come in to believe these dogmas. But you're lying to the very Jews themselves, and you're allowing them to rest comfortably in their damnation. What did the prophet Isaiah say in Isaiah 5:20? Woe to you that call evil good. When you say that a Jew is good just because he's a racial Jew, you're calling evil good. Every one of these curses I mentioned you, and all the evidence I gave you testifying to these evil Jews, Nostra Aetate tells us that they're good. And let's read what happens to those who call people blessed when they're really cursed. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 9:13 and 16. And the Lord shall destroy out of Israel the head and the tail, evil people in Israel, almost all Israel. And they, I put this in here, apostate Catholics that call this people blessed, Jews who do not believe in Christ as the Messiah and God, shall cause them to err, and they that are called blessed shall be thrown head down headlong. He's saying, and you who are being called blessed, you Jews who deny Christ, you're going to end up in hell. And let's read what we have on here on Isaiah 3:12. They that call thee blessed, the same deceive thee and destroy the way of thy steps. These nominal Catholics, these heretics, these apostate Catholics are lying to you Jews. And they're really throwing you into hell. That's what we're saying here. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth of all of this. Let me give you an example of apostate anti-pope John Paul II actually blessing these Christ-denying Jews. This is from the La Osservatore Romano, September 9, 1998. On Tuesday, the 3rd of September, the Holy Father, this is the unholy father, received representatives of the United Jewish Appeal Federation of North America to his residence in Castel Gandolfo, Christ-denying Jews. Here's a text of his address, which he gave in English. I warmly welcome you, the representatives of the United Jewish Appeal Federation of North America, and I thank you for your visit. May the Lord bless you and keep you always. That act alone is a notorious act of apostasy and heresy. He's out of the church and out alone. He was out anyway. He's never the Pope. He's blessing them. What did the beloved John say in John 2:19? Well, he says, whoever revolteth and continue not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Whoever continues in the doctrine hath both a father and a son. If any man come to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your home, nor say God speed you to him. For whoever say God speed you and communicate in his wicked works, by him blessing them, he's telling them you're blessed and God's pleased with you. He's lying to these Jews. Lying. Now, If he was an infiltrator Jew, which I really believe he was himself, a Talmudic Jew, that's why he's doing it, because he doesn't even believe in Christ himself. He's doing it just to deceive people and to bring heresies in amongst Catholics and pop them out of the church. But if a liberal does that or a useful idiot does that, the result, my point is going to be, and this is the same, no matter what his motive is. When you tell that Christ-denying Jew, he's blessed, and he walks out, they're all lit up like a light bulb with the false light of Lucifer. Oh, I'm blessed. He's walking on cloud nine for a while. Until about 5 minutes later, when he starts doing some more demonic stuff, then he needs to get another fix, someone to come along and tell him how great he is. But he's lying. They're lying to him, you see? What do you call that call you blessed? You're not blessed, you apostate Christ-denying Jews. You have to get baptized into the Catholic Church to remove your curses, and that's the only way you can have a hope to salvation. Now, Nostra Aetate, according to Nostra Aetate, of course, I'm cursed. Because I just, this whole lecture, I refuted it. I showed you how horrible it is. But according to them, because I said Jews are under a curse, I'm cursed. But they're going to have a big problem with that. Because I'm a Jew. And no Jew can be under a curse. All I got to do is play the racial Jewish trump card, and they can't attack me. They can't say I'm guilty. They can't say I'm doing anything wrong because I'm a racial Jew. So they can't attack me. So what did he do about that? You see? The thing is absurd, folks, is what I'm telling you. And I could not believe for the life of me that I ever had to make a lecture like this. And I tell you, the early church fathers said they would never believe how evil it would be in these days, how gullible people would be, how full of lies. But you know, it's always sort of been that way, really, if you look at periods of time. But I almost say, do I really need to do a sermon about it? Do people really believe that every Jew is good? Well, that's what's really happening today. And they're treating them that way. So if you can't come out, even a Jew, like I'm a Jew, right? And you see other Jews out there that are saying some things that are true about evil Jews. And what do they call these Jews? Anti-Semites. He's a Jew himself. So what they're really saying, it's not about race, really. This anti-Semitism is the back off for condemning their false religions and their immoralities and all their mortal sins against the Ten Commandments and their original sin. You're not allowed to tell them that they have that because they call that anti-Semitism. It's really a religious issue. It's not racial. It's a religious thing, not racial. Now, you have racial people. You do have racists. I don't support racism. And anybody does, it's a mortal sin. Now, the Jews will bring out a real nutty racist person that hates Jews and try to pretend that we're all in the same boat. The Jew does that. He's real good at trying to paint people with that type of a color. But that's not. But they even do it with their own people and call them anti-Semites now. It's beginning to wear pretty thin. You know, racism is evil. Talmudic racism is the most evil racism of all, though, by the way, folks. These very Jews that are crying about racism are the most racist people that ever lived. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion and the Talmud is the most extremely racist document that ever lived. Ever. But the whole issue is not about race. The real issue is about religion. And the reason that these Jews are cursed is because of the guilt of original sin, the guilt of mortal sins against the Ten Commandments, which include mortal sins against the faith, mortal sins of immorality, their guilt, and they're also guilty for deicide in the blood of Christ. All these curses are upon the Christ-denying Jews. And I will end with a prayer for the conversion of the Jews, because I do love the Jews as I love the Frenchmen and the Germans and the Englishmen. I love all men that live. And I'll tell you something. If I didn't, and if God didn't love me when I was breaking every Ten Commandment, I won't be standing here now. I'd have no hope. So I do love you, whether you like it or not. All right? But I abhor you at the same time, and I hate with a perfect hatred your evil ways. That's a fact. And I love my God above all things. And when it comes between those two things, if I had an obstinate Jew that's really bad, I would kill him. I would give him 3 months to repent. I'd lock him in a prison. I'd have priests go down there. We'd pray for him. He'd have to listen to it whether he likes it or not. And at the end of 3 months, he's dying if he's really an obstinately evil Jew that's doing something worthy of death. But as long as you're alive, there's hope. And this is the prayer that the Jews, I don't know if they had it taken out, but it was even in the Good Friday prayers. We just pray for the conversion of the Jews in our Good Friday prayer. Let's see it. You realize they don't even pray this prayer anymore in the Novus Ordo. I think the traditionalists might pray it, but they try to get rid of this prayer. We pray this on Good Friday for the conversion of the Jews. Let us pray also for the perfidious Jews, that our God and Lord would draw the veil from their hearts, and that they may acknowledge our Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty and Eternal God, who drivest not away from thy mercy, even the perfidious Jews. Hear our prayers, which we offer for the blindness of this people, that acknowledging the light of thy truth, which is Christ, they may be delivered from their darkness. Through the same our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And we all pray that prayer from the bottom of our hearts, because we don't want you to go to hell, because God wants you to be in heaven. But I ain't going to lie to you, and I know Jews, I grew up with them. I know it. One thing I'd rather have is respect than a phony love. They're going to hate me, a lot of them, but they're going to respect me, because I'm telling the truth, and they know it. And they know it. Hate me so much, some of them want to kill me, maybe. Maybe will kill me one day, hate me that much. So, but even then, when the evil Jews were killing St. Stephen, he prayed for their conversion. All right, now, here is the other prayer for the conversion of the Jews. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, look down upon us humbly prostrate before thy altar. Turn thine eyes of mercy towards the children in that race, once thy chosen people, but no more, of old. They called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them as a laver of redemption in life. And I would add, to lift the veil of darkness from them, that St. Paul said will happen. Praise be to the divine heart that wrought our salvation. To it be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.